very good morning to you all.
Good morning,
everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. How nice to see so many people. I'm sure if more people come, we'll have to look for more chairs and probably increase the space. You are all very welcome. And on behalf of our congregation and parish, I would love to welcome all those who are worshiping with us this morning for the first time, or those who are doing so after a long while. I also wish to welcome those who are worshiping with us via Zoom, and many others who will be listening to our service from our website afterwards. Today is Ascension Sunday, and just to remind the congregation that the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland started yesterday in Edinburgh, and I am a delegate or a commissioner. So for the rest of the week, I'll be going to Edinburgh and back till Thursday. I'm asking for prayers for all those who are attending, that the deliberations will go well and that we'll be able to come out with good resolutions to continue to build God's church. The theme this year is Remember Who You Are. It's a very interesting one. Remember who you are. The intimations are as in the order of service that may be in your hands, but I would like to mention one. The stated annual meeting will take place next week, Sunday 28th of May, and all members are expected to attend that meeting. There will be a brief summary of the finances of the past year and details of our budget for this year, 2023. Therefore, a small number of other short reports will be given to update members on recent activities. In Cameroon, in the Presbyterian Church, my home church, we refer to these as congregational meetings. And these are the places where Christians are allowed to share their opinions about ministry and to suggest other important ideas that we can use to continue to develop ministry. So please do well to attend. Let us take a moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Let us worship God. And our first hymn, Rejoice, the Lord is King, 449.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your presence with gratitude and reverence. We acknowledge your sovereignty over all creation and recognize that you are the source of all truth. As we approach your word this morning, we humbly ask for your guidance and insight. Help us to approach the passages of scripture that we have with humility, attentiveness, and a desire to draw closer to you. Gracious God, we adore you for your greatness and majesty. We praise you for the wonders of your creation and the diversity of languages and cultures you have given to humanity. As we reflect on the story of the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11, we are in awe of your power and the limits you place on human pride. We adore you for your wisdom and the ways you teach us to seek unity and purpose in alignment with your will. May our hearts overflow with adoration for you, our Creator and Sustainer. Merciful God, we confess that at times we have allowed pride and self-centeredness to rule in our lives. We have pursued our own desires and ambitions without considering your plans for us. Forgive us for the times we have neglected your guidance and relied on our own understanding. In the story of the Tower of Babel, we see the consequences of human pride, and we humbly acknowledge our need for your forgiveness and transformative grace. Wash us clean, O Lord, and help us to walk in humble obedience to your will. Father, as many of us have gathered this morning, we come with challenges that we face in our own individual lives. And we pray, O Father, that you will search us through and through. Listen to us as we pray and answer us according to our need. We make our prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We will now sing hymn 458, At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Christ is Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Good morning, children. Do we have children in church this morning? I'm sure we have many of them. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Hello. Hello. Good morning. How are we today? Good. How was your week? You had a good week? What did you do during the week? What were your best moments? Anyone? You don't know. There were so many. Yes, Kyle? Getting a new bike. Somebody had a new bike. Ooh. Oh, wow. Did you bring it to church?
No.
Oh, not today. Can I ride it sometime?
No.
Oh, no. Oh, okay. That's good. So was that a birthday gift or... It was a Christmas gift in May. That's wonderful. Congratulations. Is that your first bike?
No, my second.
Your second? You're very lucky. That's good. Now, I want to talk briefly with you about something that is related to languages. But my theme is really about doing rebellion or pride. Or doing something in a way that does not honor God. When we do things without really doing them in the light of God, that is, we go against what God wants us to do. How many languages do you speak, somebody? How many languages? Yes, Michaela? Two languages. Which ones?
Scottish and German.
I'm trying to learn German, but I don't know whether my brain can still take another thing now. How do you say good morning in German?
Guten Morgen.
Guten Morgen. Or say Guten Morgen.
Guten Morgen.
Guten Morgen.
Guten Morgen.
That seems to be a very easy one. Guten Morgen. So that's good morning. So two languages. Any other person who speaks more than one language? Yes?
French and English.
French and English. So how do you say good morning in French?
Bonjour.
Bonjour. Bonjour. How do you say good afternoon? You don't know? Okay. Good afternoon in French is like good evening. Bonsoir. Okay?
Bon après-midi.
Bon après-midi, yes. Bon après-midi, sorry, yes. Bon après-midi. That correction came from Francis, who is not even francophone. Now, I want us to say a few words in different languages. Take Spanish, for example. The Spanish word for hello is hola. Say hola.
Hola.
Hola. This is not a language class because I'm not a language teacher. So I'm just telling you what I've read from somewhere else. And then the word for hello in Italian, does anybody know?
Ciao.
Ciao. And then in Japan, anybody knows? Japan.
Good morning,
okay, not hello. So how do they say that again? Ohayo gozaimasu. Gozaimasu. Kumbawa. Wonderful. Okay, I think we'll start taking language classes in Newport. Okay, I think it's konnichiwa. Konnichiwa is hello in Japanese. And in Hawaii is aloha. Aloha. So these are so many different languages. I wish I was able to speak them, but I can speak two of our indigenous languages, or three of them, my father's, my mom's, and the one where we grew up or where we settled, that town. So three ethnic languages, and then I can also speak English and some French. So about five. Is that so many? So many. Now, let me tell you a story about languages. The story is in the Bible, in the book of Genesis. When God created the world, everybody was speaking the same language. Now, I'm sure that all of us in this congregation would understand one another because we all speak English and we can all understand English. But imagine that people started speaking Gaelic. How many people understand Gaelic? I have to say that I don't. And you could insult me in Gaelic, I will never know. I'll think you are greeting me. So if some people started speaking Gaelic, then many people will be lost. So everybody was speaking the same language. And they decided to do something. Have you ever heard about the Tower of Babel? No? You've heard about the Tower of Babel? So when people were speaking the same language, they decided that they wanted to build a very tall tower that will reach the heavens, probably at a point where they will meet where God lives. And they started building. And because they were talking to each other and understanding what they were doing, they continued building that tower. Now, the reason for doing that was not to honor God, but because of pride. They wanted to show that they were able to do and accomplish certain things. So God was not happy. And what did he do? He now introduced other languages and confused all of them. So people were speaking to each other and nobody was understanding the other. So he dispersed them and that project ceased. Now, what do you think about that? Was God kind in doing that? No, he wasn't. Why? He should allow them to build that tall tower to come and meet him where he is. Eh? Well, it's not that God doesn't like unity. But the problem here is that when people unite to do something that does not particularly honor God or out of pride, to show that they can do it, God is not happy with that kind of attitude. But again, there are also ways in which sometimes we unite with other people which are not good. For example, if you become friends with somebody so that you can treat your other friends badly, despise them, or not play with them. Sometimes in school, when you are angry with somebody, you make friends with some people and say that, okay, let us not play with that one in school. Is that a good thing? Is that a good thing? God doesn't like that. So when we come together to do something, we should come together to do something for good and something that honors God. So what we learn from this passage is that it is good for us to be in unity, to love one another, to join together to do many things that are helpful. But if we are joining together to do things that God does not approve, then we should not join with one another. So, let us learn about unity, and let us learn to make friends with people that will help us to grow, and that will help us to grow, especially in Christ, and to honor him. So let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we are grateful to you, and we thank you for all that we learn from the pages of Scripture. We thank you for our children, young as they are. We know, O Father, that day by day as we continue to bring your word to them, you are helping shape their own lives and making them to grow in your love and in your fear. We pray now, O God, that you continue to open their hearts and bless their lives, and let your name be glorified in all that we do as we seek to unite with one another to build your church even in this place. This is our prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our next hymn, Blessing and Honor, Glory and Power, 442.
Every time. Our first reading this morning is from the book of Genesis, chapter 11, reading from verses 1 to 9, the Tower of Babel. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used bricks instead of stone, and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build a city of ourselves with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Our second reading is from the book of John, chapter 16, reading verses 1 to 15. "All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you all into the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Amen. And may the Lord add his blessing to these readings of his holy word. We'll now continue our worshipping by singing, Lord, the light of your life is shining.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we approach your word, we ask for your divine wisdom and illumination. Open our hearts and minds to understand the truths you have revealed through the passages of Scripture. And may your Holy Spirit guide us in wisdom and understanding that we may receive the message you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, when Kevin was reading and he pronounced the word Babel or Babel, which I pronounced Babel. I was just wondering whether you actually understood what I was saying when I was taking the children's address. When I said Babel, English pronunciations sometimes are quite tricky, but I hope you would bear with me if I say Babel and not Babel. We are thinking this morning on this story of the Tower of Babel and the promise of the Holy Spirit. And today is Ascension Sunday. We Christian people believe that on Ascension, after his resurrection, Jesus ascended into heaven. It is usually counted 40 days after Easter, and that should have been last Thursday. But Ascension signifies the exaltation and enthronement of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it also represents his continued presence with believers through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. As I mentioned in my article in the Church Journal, the current one, the Ascension also serves as a source of hope, pointing to the promise of Christ's return in the future. So as we reflect on this very significant event, we are reminded of God's divine plan for the redemption of humanity and the promise of the Holy Spirit. There are two texts this morning, the one in Genesis and the one in John. Now the story of the Tower of Babel begins with the ambition and pride of humanity. The people in the story sought to build a tower that would reach the heaven, a symbol of their desire for power, for control, and for self-glory. In their pursuit, they ignored God's plan and purpose for their lives. They sought to make a name for themselves. And in their arrogance, they failed to acknowledge the name of the Lord. At the mention of the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow and all tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And when we are prideful and arrogant, Jesus, God, humbles our pride. And that is why in this text, God in his wisdom saw the danger of their unity. He confounded their language, causing confusion and scattering them across the earth. Now, the Tower of Babel serves as a vivid reminder of the brokenness and futility of human unity apart from God. It reveals the consequences of our pride and the inevitable disintegration that follows when we disregard God's purposes in the things that we do. Now, let us take it that God's action was not a punishment, but a loving correction, teaching humanity the importance of relying on him. The story of the Tower of Babel reminds us that when our ambitions are disconnected from God's purposes, it can lead us astray. But through the ascension of Jesus Christ, God offers us a remarkable gift, the promise of the Holy Spirit. In the Gospel of John, Jesus speaks to his disciples about his impending departure and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And these words provide hope. They give us comfort and guidance as we follow Jesus Christ. First, they speak about the role of the advocate. Jesus Christ promises to send the advocate, that is the Holy Spirit, who will come to be with his disciples. The Holy Spirit will guide us, will comfort us, will empower us in our journey of faith. Moreover, the Spirit will testify about Jesus, reminding the disciples of his teachings and revealing the truth. And then the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of course, there are those who believe that there is nothing like judgment, or that there is even nothing like sin that can stop people from going to hell. But Scripture is very clear. The Holy Spirit convicts the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. By the Spirit's work, we are confronted with our need for repentance and reconciliation with God. And the Spirit illuminates the truth of God's righteousness and exposes the judgment that awaits those who reject God's grace and refuse to repent. And the Spirit is also the Spirit of truth. Jesus Christ describes the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth who will guide the disciples into all truth. And the Spirit will reveal the mysteries of God's kingdom, bringing clarity and understanding to those who seek him. And the question is, how many of us do seek the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives? How many of us make use of the presence of God's Spirit? That power needs to be used and to be harnessed. I read about a young missionary called Herbert Jackson who was given a car to help him in his work. The car was a major asset, but it had one difficulty. It would not start without a push or a jump start. So Jackson devised a system to cope with the car's inability to start. When he was ready to leave his home, he went to a nearby school and asked permission to bring some of the children out of class to help him push start his car. Throughout the day, he was careful to always park on a hill or to leave his engine running when he stopped for short visits. For 2 years, the young missionary used what he believed was an ingenious method to enable him to use the car. When poor health forced the Jackson family to leave the field, a new missionary arrived to lead the mission. When Jackson explained to the new missionary his methods for starting the car, the young man opened the hood and began inspecting the car. "Why, Dr. Jackson," he interrupted, "I believe the only trouble is the loose cable." He gave the cable a twist, pushed the switch, and the engine roared to life. For 2 years, Dr. Jackson had used his own devices and endured needless trouble. The power to start the car was there all the time. It only needed to be connected. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, how often we use our own devices to solve our human problems and forget that God's Spirit is there to give us hope and direction in all that we do. The power of the Holy Spirit is always present. We need only to connect to it. On this Ascension Sunday, our text reminds us of the transformative power that flows from the brokenness of Babel to the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, having completed his earthly ministry, ascended to the right hand of the Father, demonstrating his victory over sin and over death. In his ascension, Jesus Christ has opened the way for all of us to heaven and to eternal life. Let us surrender our ambitions to God. Let us seek his guidance, and let us rely on the Holy Spirit's power. Let us remember that it is through the Spirit that we find unity, not in our own achievements, but in our shared faith in Jesus Christ. As we celebrate the Ascension, may we yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit, allowing him to transform our lives, our communities, and our world. And may the indwelling Spirit of God change and transform us now and always. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and for the teachings of Scripture. And we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that is amongst us to change and to transform us and to help us go through the challenges that we face in this world. Help us, Father, to be conscious of the presence of your Spirit amongst us, to harness the resources therein, and to live lives that are consecrated unto you. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All hail the power of Jesus' name. 457, our next hymn. Let us pray. Gracious God, we bring before you our offerings, both tangible and intangible, as we reflect on the teachings of Jesus. We are reminded of the promise of the Holy Spirit and the importance of sharing the truth of the gospel. We dedicate these offerings to you, asking that you use them to further your kingdom, to proclaim the message of salvation and to bring hope to those in need. May our giving be an expression of our gratitude and commitment to follow you wholeheartedly. We lift our prayers of intercession before you, mindful of the messages we've heard this morning from Genesis 11 and John 16. We intercede for those who are experiencing division and conflicts. We pray for unity among nations, communities, and families. May your spirit of peace and understanding guide us in building bridges instead of walls, fostering reconciliation instead of division. Help us to see one another as fellow image bearers, embracing our diversity and celebrating our shared humanity. We also intercede for those who are facing persecution and hardship due to their faith, as Jesus foretold in John 16. Strengthen and protect your children who are marginalized, oppressed, and facing injustice. Grant them courage, endurance, and unwavering faith. Surround them with your comforting presence and provide them with advocates who will stand with them in their time of need. Lord, we lift up the world in prayer, particularly those regions experiencing conflict, injustice, and hardship. We remember places where division and strife strengthen peace and stability. Strengthen peacemakers, empower advocates for justice, and bring comfort to those who suffer. We thank you for the example of Jesus, who endured persecution and suffering for the sake of love and righteousness. We are grateful for his teachings and the promise of the Holy Spirit, who continues to guide and to comfort us. Loving Father, we pray for other parts of the world and places where there are problems. And we think this morning of places where your name is being misused for people's selfish interests. We think again of the cult in Kenya, where more than 200 bodies have already been dug up in mass graves because of the ideologies of one man. Father, we pray for all those who are victims of this problem, and we pray for the so-called pastor who has now been arrested. Father, may justice prevail in that case, and may it be a lesson for many other people who are misusing your name. We pray for families that are grieving, and for those who are still looking for loved ones who had been deceived into the ideology of this religious leader. Father, speak your word of peace and give wisdom to all those who follow you. And now, O Father, we intercede for our community here in Newport on Tay. May your spirit of unity and understanding prevail among us, breaking down barriers and fostering harmony. We pray for local leaders that they may govern with wisdom and compassion, addressing the needs of all residents. Grant us opportunities to build bridges across differences, promoting respect and inclusion. We also intercede for our nation and its leaders. Guide those in positions of authority that they may govern with justice and integrity. We pray for unity among different regions and communities, celebrating the rich diversity of Scotland. Protect our land and its natural resources, helping us to be good stewards of the environment. We thank you for the Church of Scotland and for its witness in the world, and for the General Assembly that started yesterday. We pray for all commissioners who will be commuting from different parts of Scotland to Edinburgh, and we ask, O God, that you would grant journey mercies and give us wisdom in our deliberations. Heavenly Father, we know that you hear our petitions and receive our gratitude. May your spirit continue to guide us as we seek to live in unity, serve others with love, and proclaim your truth to the world. May our intercession for ourselves and the world bring about positive change, and may our thanksgiving lead us to a life of gratitude and service. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. If you are able, please stand. Let us together affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Final hymn is 419, Thine Be the Glory, Risen Conquering Son. Peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world. Amen.